5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Those West Indian boys that saw you in the shower.
Put moron number two on the phone.
I'm gonna hurt somebody with that mouth.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
I had plenty of old conquests ring me yesterday saying, I thought you were West Indian. Because
no,
we're here, Bill, on a Thursday.
No.
Katie Brennan in here.
Katie
Brennan, can't wait to chat to her, one of the stars of AFLW, of course.
Yes, Jim.
And then second hour, Paul Roos.
Ah.
Wow. Is he in the media just as we speak?
Oh, thank you very much, Roosie, as we get a media release today.
Nice. And Wayne Carey, of course, planting him in there.
Yeah, exactly. So they work together Sundays.
We need to get to the bottom of all of that with Roosie when he comes in. He keeps things quite close to his chest, but I like to think that old interviews Brownless.
Detective.
I might just be able to get it out of him.
Exactly.
So we'll see how that goes later. Yeah. We've got the quiz to give away the trip to Mount Hotham. That's coming up as well. Jim. It's a massive show. Hello to you, big boy.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. G'day, listeners. G'day you, Leroy.
Supplies!
Supplies, Jim.
Oh, no.
That was a joke that got Chief a bit of a chuckle.
It wasn't a great one.
It was. Well, Chief was chuckling.
Yeah, well, he was laughing at you.
No, he wasn't. Some footy news, Jim.
Go on, give it to me. Oh, breaking.
Gary Ablett has just listed his riverfront property, Jim, up there on the Gold Coast.
Riverfront. Oh, no.
He has just listed his riverfront property up there on the Gold Coast, Jim, for $2
million. Yes.
Amid suggestions, he's played his last game for the Sun. So stand by there.
Jeez.
Yeah. Bought it for $1.8 million. Trying to sell it for $2 million up there.
Right.
Tennis court, pools. Got all the gadgets, Jim.
There we go. It's you.
Very nice there. Jack Billings.
Jackie boy.
Has signalled his commitment to helping St Kilda return to September action by inking a new 2-year deal.
Nice.
Well done, Jackie boy.
Yep.
Nathan Buckley does not expect any light to be shed on his future until the round 23 clash with Melbourne.
Okay.
As a board, Collingwood board meeting scheduled for next Tuesday.
Oh, righto.
Geez, that's gone on a little bit. I thought he might have known by now. And unfortunately, the longer it goes, Jim, I think...
Well, they're doing a review, Bill. So once you start the review process, you've got to finish it. You've got to allow it to run its course.
Okay. Geelong coach Chris Scott, he's been crook for a week or so, been in bed, got the flu.
Jeez.
Says the system that led Western Bulldogs forward Jack Redpath getting 3 weeks is flawed.
Yes.
So he's not happy. A few coaches have come up out about that. What about poor old Zach Dawson, Jim?
What's he done?
He hasn't retired yet, but Fremantle coach Ross Lyon has said he won't be given a farewell match, saying there's no point chewing up an opportunity when the club needs to focus on the youth.
Jeez. Out you go, Zach.
So you.
Well, I would have, if he hasn't retired, he probably should.
Well, he hasn't yet, Jim. He hasn't announced it.
Reading that from the coach, Bill, I reckon he probably should.
Do you know how many grand finals Zach played in?
Three.
Four.
Yeah, one with Freo, of course.
And didn't win one, Jim.
No.
Big story. Oh, Jim, breaking news. This one, too.
Come on, then.
Big story concerning you.
What?
Saturday rub from 12 o'clock.
Who?
That's come from a little bird. Maybe a biggie bird. A big bird.
What?
That there's something, a story about you that this man...
I'm clean, Bill. I'm a clean skin.
No, Jim, something's happened.
You can dig and dig and dig, you'll find nothing.
Well, something's happened, Jim, because this man rang me today and said, can you just give a little promo?
Oh.
Head towards the Saturday rub, 12 o'clock. I've got something
He's
on
got
Jim.
Something.
Yes.
Well, he'd want to be decent because he'd be bringing a knife to a gunfight otherwise.
Oh, of course he would be with you.
He's obviously still prickling after last week when he...
I didn't say it was Brian.
Oh. Well, who would it be? Duck.
Well, it's not Dark.
Well, no, it's not Damo.
It's not Damo. And
well,
it's not
Bristle.
You. Who else is on the show?
Bristle.
Well, it might be him.
Oh! All right. We can't wait to hear what that is, Bill.
Yes, exactly.
Midday Saturday. All roads lead to the Saturday rub anyway.
They do. But
especially when you can turn on one of your own.
And don't tell me, old, what are you doing now?
What are you talking about?
What's wrong with you? You got thongs on. You're limping around like an old chook.
I am. If I was a racehorse, Bill, you'd bring the blanket out. Fair dinkum, you'd bring it out and just put an end to me.
I tell you what, if you're a racehorse, you wouldn't be very tough.
No. Well, I am tough.
No,
that's
you're
thing.
Not.
I'm like bloody Bo Rogue.
Oh, you're
just get through, Bill. So find a way. Get to the line.
You're limping around, whinging about your foot again.
I hadn't said a word about it, actually.
What's going on with your bloody foot?
I had to have it redone today, Bill. The thing last week didn't work. So I was back in today having it redone again.
Oh, stand by for the whinge.
Yeah, we won't hear any. It's just tough, Bill. Now, Bill.
Yes.
I see here. I can't believe how many times I see topics brownless. But this one, I'm actually going to hijack.
Hijack?
Stand by.
Now, let me tell you, I was driving down Clarendon Street the other day.
I'm not interested in where you were driving or what you were doing, to be honest.
In my Ford.
What you were in, none of that has any interest to me or the family. Bill.
What?
I want to know what happened.
What happened? Hang on, Jim. I'm telling you. Topics brownless
no
here.
No interest in topics. I want to know what happened the other day when you got into the lift here at Triple M.
I pressed basement and went down to my car.
What happened?
I got in the lift and I pressed basement. Jim.
I'm going to give you a third chance to tell the truth. Otherwise, I will tell it. What happened when you got into the lift here at Triple M?
I got in the lift and stood at the side.
A lift that has been fitted out to look like the skyline of one of the most famous cities in the world. What happened?
Very nice lift, by the way, Jim. Very nice. It's like wallpaper there. Skyscraper, I think they call it.
This is online, by the way, so you can check it out.
I was just standing there, Jim.
Were you?
Lovely lady got in from Fox. She'd come down to our level.
Yes.
Standing there with her.
What'd you say?
I might have said.
What?
Gee, that's a nice city. Nice old buildings, you know, some cafe type things there. I said, that's a nice city. I wonder where it is.
What'd she say?
She said, Jim, if you have a look behind you, that tower would probably give it away.
So you turned around and?
It was the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, no.
It was the Eiffel Tower. How did I know it was bloody London?
You are a fool's head. Fool's head.
How did I know I was in London, Jim?
Oh, no, fair income.
No, Jim, I honestly was standing in front, so I wasn't looking at the Eiffel Tower.
You were unlucky.
I was unlucky, Jim. This girl's looking straight at the Eiffel Tower. I can only see the cityscape and the old buildings, as I said. And I said, oh, this is a lovely city. Wonder where this is. She goes,
I reckon the Eiffel Tower might just tip it off.
No, she said the tower. So I looked around, Jim, and there it is staring at me.
Fair dinkum. You are a fool's head.
I was taken aback.
Were you?
Yes, I was, Jim, because I didn't see the bloody Eiffel Tower.
Not as taken aback as she was.
She might
imagine that poor girl thinking, I always had my doubts about how stupid this bloke was, but I never thought he was that bad.
Yeah, exactly right, Jim.
So, Bill, hence.
So we're in Paris, Jim.
133353. Do you know anyone stupider than Bill? fair dinkum.
Yeah,
well, the Eiffel Tower in the lift, and you're asking, I wonder what city it is.
I had my back to it. I couldn't say. I haven't got eyes in the back of my head.
That's it. So now the Colosseum's on. I wonder where this is.
That's in Greece,
Houses of Parliament. You are a fool's head. 133353. Do you know anyone stupider than Bill? Bill gets in the lift. It's been beautifully decaled.
It has.
To look like a magnificent Northern Hemisphere city.
That's it, Jim.
Bill gets in there and says, oh, this is nice. Nice buildings and cafes. I wonder where it is. The Eiffel Tower's right behind him.
Behind me, Jim.
So,
exactly.
Therefore, we're asking the question, do you know anyone who's stupider than Bill? Vicky's in Bamburgh, beautiful part of the world.
Nice.
Hey, Vic.
Bamburgh, Vic.
Yes, yeah. Nice, very nice parts of the world.
Very nice part.
Who do you know who's dumber than Bill, Vic?
Well, I wouldn't say dumber, but she definitely should be blonde. I used to live in Chernside Park, and one neighbour had chickens, and at about the same time, my other neighbour bought a rabbit for her daughter.
Yep.
Anyway, a fox took the chickens, which was unfortunate, and a couple of weeks later, the rabbit disappeared. So I said to my friend, well, it was probably taken by a fox. No, 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 it couldn't have been a fox. If it had been a fox, there would have been feathers everywhere.
Oh, no. Come on.
What did you say, Vic?
I laughed.
You could only do that. You could only do that. Mm-hmm. Well done. Stay on the line, Vic. Damien's in Mooral Bark. Hello, Damo.
Yeah, g'day, guys. How you going?
Know anyone stupider than Bill?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to put my daughter in for this. She's going to hate me. They were driving past, her and her fiancé were driving past a medical centre. And there was an advertisement at the front for a therapist. And she goes, why would they advertise for the rapist at that place?
Oh, no.
And the son-in-law goes, Whitney, it's a therapist.
Yeah. Just the one word, not two.
just the one word.
Oh, I get it, Damo. That's actually rivaling, Bill.
Just for the people, what's the spelling difference?
Well,
therapist,
there's no spelling difference, but there is a gap between and R.
So it's T-H-E.
It's just one word. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I can understand.
Oh, you can understand that?
Yeah.
Even if it's written as one word?
Yes.
Oh, Simo's in Geelong. Hello, Simon.
How you going, boys?
Good. You know anyone stupider than Bill?
Yeah, me and the boys are watching the Tour de France, sitting on the couch, and my mate's missus walked in and goes, what are you watching? We said, Tour de France. She goes, oh, yeah, where are they hosting that this year? I got another quick one.
Yes.
My missus and I were driving along country Victoria,
yeah.
And we were driving along, and there was a freshly cut paddock that had just been freshly cut and baled, and she looked over at the bales, and she's like, I said, oh, there's a nice bit of hay there. And she goes, she looks over at the bales and she goes, yeah, geez, they must have a lot of cows.
Oh, I like it.
What's
Bill.
Her name, Simon?
oh, better not.
What's her first name, Simon?
Shannon.
Oh, come on.
Stay there, Simon. Luke in Hillside. Hello, Luke.
Lukey.
Hello. How are we, boys?
Who do you know is stupider than Bill?
I don't want to say his name, but anyway, my mate Corey.
Yes.
He went around to the servo one day and he locked his keys in his car.
Yep.
So then the servo wasn't too far of a walk home, so he went home, got his spare keys, came back, paid for the fuel, and locked the spare keys in his car as well when
no
he got home.
No way.
Yeah, that's it.
Both sets in the car.
Both sets, and then we said, do you have RACV? And he goes, nah. So then he just broke his window and drove around with a pizza box. Stuck up against his window
That's stupid,
time.
Bill.
That
There's
is
no
stupid,
doubt about that.
I wouldn't do that.
No, I don't reckon you probably wouldn't. No. Christian's in Lara. Christian?
Mate, how are you?
Good.
Know anyone better than Bill?
Yeah, his cousin, my mother, Lauren White.
Oh,
Wozza.
Wozza. Yeah, right, Chris.
You know she's dumber than you, Bill.
Runs in the family, you reckon?
Poor old Lozza. Yeah. She's had a tough life. Chris,
oh,
she
sure has, mate. Unfortunately, I'm her son. But
I was going to say, you're his. Yeah.
Oh!
She's your mother, Chris.
Yeah, well.
She's going all right, mate, up there.
What
she's
do
still.
You do?
Yeah, exactly. Caught up with her the other week. She's going all right.
Yes. Yeah, no, she's going all right. Look, so we had the pizza guy delivered to the front door one night.
Yep.
She's opened the door. Pizza bloke's in there with the pizza box. He's like, who are you? What are you doing? You know, with the pizza stand on his head. Thought he was the Jehovah's Buddy Witness.
Listen to
it's obviously running in the family.
No, poor old Loza. She's done well. Still in jewellery, Jim. Still in jewellery.
Ryan's in Taylor's Lakes, Rhino.
How you going, boys?
Oh, I love this topic so much. A, because of the entertaining stories, but B, because everyone that rings, I can say, who do you know is stupider than Bill? Who is it?
My sister.
Oh, what's she done?
It was winter a few years ago, and she's turned around to all of us on the first sunny day and said, do you reckon if we drive closer to the sun, we can get warmer?
Oh, no. Come on. Come on, Bill.
Oh,
God. Yeah, you just can't respond to that.
I wouldn't say that.
No, I don't reckon. Emma's in Carrum Downs to round us out. Hello, Em.
Emsy.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Emsy.
My sister is probably dumber than Bill.
Right.
She was sitting there drinking a cup of tea one day and turned around and said to us, it's funny how we're drinking cow's wee.
What?
Cow's wee. Thought she was drinking.
We looked at her and went, what do you mean? And she said, their milk, it's, you know, it's their wee.
Oh, no.
And we just went, no, it comes from their boobs.
Oh, they're from their
boobs. Their boobs, Bill. Different place altogether.
Actually, from their teats.
Yeah, well, same thing.
Yeah.
All right. So Bill.
Emma's sister thought it was.
The cow's wee.
Oh, jeez.
Bill.
What's going on?
There are lots of people who are nearly as bad as you.
No, I am a road scholar.
I don't think so. Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell. Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts in starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Katie Brennan's class has shone through in spades, and a second goal here would really complete her night. She's got it. She's got two. It's well deserved.
Katie Brennan, or KB as we like to call her. She regularly comes in and joins us. Welcome, KB.
Thanks, boys.
Fresh off a trip to Vietnam.
Yeah, nice and fresh. It's good to break up the Melbourne weather every now and then.
How was that? How long are you away for?
We're away for, it was a 10-day trek with Intrepid Travel. So we spent about 12 days over there, and we had a bye weekend, which was nice, and it was good to get some sun and explore the beautiful country of Vietnam.
How far away is that from here? Like, what's the plane trip for a start?
Plane trip was 8 plus 3, so it wasn't too bad.
So you can't direct it?
Nah. Well, we didn't. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But when we go away to Vietnam, we think about the beaches and just lie there and have a couple of frothies. You obviously didn't do that, KB?
Nah, still in season. A little bit of conditioning out of it. And I like to see the countryside and explore. So we did some trekking.
Trekking through rice fields?
Yeah. Yep. It was. There's a bit of an interesting start. There's monsoon day one, so that tested us. Did a 160k cycle through the mountains, which was pretty amazing. Caught a bus up the mountain and got to cycle down it, which was lovely.
That's good.
Yeah. And then kayaking through Halong Bay as well.
Aren't there amazing tours you can do through the war zone? Did you do any of that, where you see the old bunkers and they've still got the shells and bullet shells and stuff?
Yeah, I think that was our cycle day where we sort of rode past it a little bit. It wasn't in depth, but there's some really amazing stories, and we had a fantastic tour guide through Intrepid as well, so we got to hear some crazy stories about it.
I hear it's a nuts joint, Bill, Vietnam.
Yeah.
I reckon it's brilliant.
Never been.
Bucket listed.
Put it on there.
Yeah, right. Put it on the bucket.
But
you've heard from KB.
Hiking or riding a bike for 160k.
It'll do you good.
You can stick that, KB.
Oh, you remember last time you were in here, KB, you made Bill do the simplest of exercises. How bad was he?
Just tight, very tight.
Tight, exactly.
Not much mobility about you, mate.
Well, I'm
none,
old.
None.
I've worked out where I'm at in life, KB, and I'm old and about, only got a few more years on the earth. Hey, what else? Tell me, you're playing again, of course. How you been going with, who are you playing for?
Darabin, of course.
How are you going?
The Mighty Falcons. Yeah, good. It's nice to be back out on the track. I've been struggling with this ankle for a little bit, so... Mm. Second half of the year, we've got a lot of our AFL women's players back, some superstar delivery, and we're doing great back on top of the ladder.
How'd you go last weekend against St Kilda Sharks?
Had a pretty good day out. Got a couple of goals there.
Seven. Just kicked seven.
A bucket of seven, Bill.
Nice. Seven.
Snags.
Yes.
When you're on the end of Daisy Pearce, Loz Arnell, Elise O'Day, Melissa Hickey, a few of the AFL women's superstars. We have a pretty good outfit, so it's
on top. On top again, are we, the Falcons?
We are, yeah.
Mate, there's got to be something done with the comp, doesn't there, really?
Well, they've brought in a point system. Yeah, they've brought that in. Oh. There's been a bit of movement through the VFL, but it's just our culture.
So when you think about it like that, and that's very humble of you to say that when you're on the end of that sort of delivery, KB, that you'll kick seven.
Yeah.
When you think about Couch, Hocking, Bairstow, one of the great midfield Bews of all time back in the 90s. How did you not kick more goals?
Who?
You.
Well, Ablett was there. Oh. That's a problem, Jim. He was standing there.
He would take the best defender, though.
That's it?
Yeah, and he took my defender. I actually had no one playing on me, and I still couldn't kick him. But that is unbelievable. What, he won 7 premierships, going for number 8, and you girls are just thrashing him.
Yeah, it's good. It's like I said, it's an incredible culture at the Falcons, and we play for each other, and it's great to be back there after the AFL women's period, where we all sort of parted ways, and we can come back and share our experiences and train as one again.
Are you now ankle free forever? Like, is it all fixed, or is it one of those ones you can have recurring issues?
No, I hope, touch wood, that it's all done. We rehabbed it pretty well.
What did you, syndesmosis?
No, it wasn't. It was a medial ankle sprain, so the deltoid ligament.
Deltoid.
Yeah, so we sort of rushed it back in AFL Women's just to try and get back out on the park. And then when I did it again, it was just unfortunate. It was in the gym and I just stood on someone's foot. So
dopey.
Yeah, a little bit.
AFLW, of course. So one or two sides coming into the comp, not next year, the year after, 2019?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bill. I'm not sure. They'll release it at the end of August, but we think it's probably two.
Two?
2 to 4.
So they'll be named and then they've got a year virtually to get themselves right.
Yeah, I'd say. And I guess, the AFL will be behind them and there'll be a bit of movement in the clubs and There's some, I guess, great clubs out there, like, you know, Geelong and Box Hill and those sort of clubs.
North Melbourne.
Mm-hmm. Laying.
You've seen the Geelong
one
set up down there with the new stand and the new
roofs. I have.
Not bad.
Yeah.
And the lift that doesn't work.
Well, that's for the media. Don't worry about that. But, yeah, it's very nice down there, Jim.
Are we concerned, KB, at all about player talent pool? Like, if you're adding four more teams, that's a hell of a lot of additional players than what we've got now. Is that going to
bother you? It's a really interesting question, I guess. We're going to have another preseason under our belt. You know, there'll be some more talent coming through. I do the strength and conditioning for the National Academy, and there's some really great talent coming through there. We're taking, like we talked about before off air, Aaron Hall from netball. We're you know, getting a few cross-coders, which is really positive. So in terms of, the development of the competition, there may be some teething programs and some progress sort of, but the players will step up and hopefully we can just continue to develop and grow.
A big day coming up, Footy Colours Day. We're going to ask you about that next.
Still with us in studio, AFLW star Katie Brennan.
Yeah, a couple of things we need to get through with you, KB. First of all, KB performance, how's that going? Of course, your own gym.
Yeah, it's going really well. We've had a lot of the international teams through this week, which has been awesome.
Cool.
Which ones have
impressed you? Because I see the Croatian boys, they won and they all got in a circle, Jim, and they just sang this Croatian song. It was scary.
Well, it's amazing. We had the Great Britain girls, the Ireland girls, and also the USA girls in for a few sessions. So loved the Great Britain girls. They were, if any of them are listening now, they're a great bunch. And not that I have favourites, but they're awesome.
Cool. Yeah. So just remind us with KB performance, people come up, turn up and you put them through their paces for 45 minutes?
Yeah, we're still waiting on Billy to get into
Bill
the studio.
You'll never
studio.
See Bill.
You haven't given me
You'll never
address.
See Bill.
No, I guess we're female focused. So we do strength and conditioning programs and have a female football academy as well.
Nice. All right, get stuck into that. KBPerformanceCentre.com, is that? Was it
KBPerformance.com.au.
What do you do to get the bum nice and big and solid?
Squats. Yeah.
Everyone's doing squats now. They have a bigger bum, aren't they?
Squats, and Pilates. Pilates is good for you too. Yeah.
See, I should do Pilates. We should go.
You should do something, Bill. The other thing we need to talk to you about is the ambassador. You're an ambassador for Footy Colours Day.
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's an amazing organisation for Fight Cancer Foundation. I guess they're calling on all Australians at the moment to show their true colours in September for Footy Colours Day.
Yep.
And it's, I guess, targeted fans of all codes as well. So AFL lovers, NRL, A-League and rugby.
Yep.
And it's an opportunity to wear your favourite colours with pride and raise funds to support the Fight Cancer Foundation. Yes.
So what you do, you register your school or your sporting club gym, you pick a day in September, and you wear your footy colour days, and that's how you raise money for Fight Cancer Foundation. Good, bloody good idea, that.
We did it here not long ago.
They did do it here.
There were thousands of North Melbourne scarves and jumpers everywhere.
There was one.
It was amazing. Just dominated the whole building. That's a very good thing. So who are we playing next, please, for the Derebin Falcons?
We've got Seaford this weekend. Yeah, out at Seaford. So I think it's 2 p.m.
Is that at the St Kilda, where they train? Right there?
I don't think so. Different ground. Right. Unity ground.
State of origin squads confirmed for the big game during the bye week. And you're an ally, yes?
Yes, Queenslander. So it'd be nice to pull on the Allies jersey. I was a late inclusion. So, really excited to be a part of it. And hopefully we can knock off the Vicks.
Up against your teammates also. So a lot of girls have changed clubs this year, haven't they? Who? I see Taylor Harris. She was up there in Brisbane, now playing with Carlton.
Yep, she's with Carlton. We had, there's a few. You put me on
Who
the spot
they,
here,
Kate?
Bill.
Come on. I'll come back to you.
Give me some time to
this
think about
game,
it.
This game, Bill,
is
quite extraordinary.
Yep.
It's the day after the All-Star game at Etihad.
Yeah, Etihad.
It is Bill, if you want to see the footy ping around,
I know.
If you want to see it go end-to-end with speed, it is just extraordinary, this thing.
So Saturday, September 2, 7:40 at Etihad. And I remember last year we all turned it on and gone, oh, crikey.
Bill,
oh, crikey.
The skills on display and the speed of ball movement, it has to be seen to be believed. It is an All-Star game, so these, KB, are the best players in women's football, yes?
Across Australia, yep.
So that's how good it is, Bill, and it's going to be on for young and old. So make sure you get along and watch, and if you can't, make sure you watch it on television. Good, it is nuts.
No Erin Phillips, she's got commitments over there in America?
Yeah, she's still over there at this stage.
She's coming back playing again, isn't she?
Yeah, she will be. She'll be back for the Crows.
Yeah.
So had a fantastic season in year one.
Did she? What? Crikey. She,
the other one, Nick Stevens, has gone to Carlton. There we go.
Nick Stevens, there used to be a Nick Stevens at Carlton.
Nick Stevens, yeah. Yeah. The female version. Nicola. She's a superstar. So Nicola Stevens.
Where's
she?
Ah, right.
From Collingwood to. Got a few more for you. Yeah. Alicia Eva from Collingwood also to the GWS.
Oh, she's come good.
Another superstar.
Did anyone try and poach you? Get you across to another club?
Nah. Red, white, and blue, mate.
Oh,
what are you doing now, please, KB? You're looking like you've either just come from the gym or you're about to go.
A bit of both. So came from the gym and then heading back there for a session before training tonight.
Oh, very
good
nice.
Effort, that. Mm. That's a bit silly. Don't go too hard.
Nah.
That's how you'd hurt your ankles and do things.
It's all about the extras.
KBPerformance.com. Make sure you check it out online. KB, great seeing you. Keep dominating.
Thanks so much, boys.
Now, we've got lots of people saying that the Eiffel Tower's not in London, Bill.
Yeah, which I knew, Jim.
Well, you knew.
I knew
you were just winding people up. And that's why we didn't jump in and respond to it.
I did like this one from Nathaniel, when we're talking about the Eiffel Tower, Jim.
Yes.
Not as impressive as the lights at Simmons. Nathaniel, very good,
you've
that.
You've actually got to be joking.
I like that. I like that.
You've got to be joking.
What did you like, Jim?
Why
does JB wear a hat in the studio?
I don't know. I just had a hat on today and haven't taken it off.
It's winter, Jim.
Matty
idiot.
Potter said, I asked once at a footy committee meeting what day Good Friday was on this year.
Oh, come on.
in answer to the question, do you know anyone who's stupider than Bill?
Yeah.
But the winner. Yes. There's only one winner.
One.
Yeah, it comes off Facebook from Ryan saying, who's stupider than Bill? The bloke at Triple M who hired him.
Oh.
No.
Who was that? Ben, was it? Was that Ben?
Ben Amafio, yes.
Yeah,
our man.
Yeah.
So, Bill.
Yes.
Nice Nina and Pasadena pack going Ryan's way.
Go on, you Ryan dog.
And we thank Ryan from Nina and Pasadena for his continued support of this magnificent show.
XXL, that'd be good.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
Mount Hotham snow trip we give away next.
Oh, Jim. The
can't
best.
Wait.
I feel good.
Big second hour. We got the quiz, of course, to give away the trip to Mount Hotham.
Yes.
And Paul Roos is going to be in studio as well. I tell you what I liked, Bill.
What do you like?
And that's this article by Rita Panahi.
Yes, good girl, Rita.
Body shaming of Shane Warne reeks of double standards.
Good on
it. It says the decision of certain, in inverted commas, staff writers
to
mock cricket legend Shane Warne's girth displays a glaring case of double standards.
Mm.
She goes on to say, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's questioned the merits of an entire article devoted to chronicling a former sports star's fluctuating weight.
Yep.
She then says, imagine the reaction if a former female athlete's weight was scrutinised in such a crude manner.
Spot on.
With a series of before and after photos. That is absolutely spot on.
Well
those
done.
That papping and shaming of Warney at a public golf course minding his own business is what I most worry about in this Bill. We are going hard down the wrong path.
Yeah, exactly.
So well done by you, Rita.
Well done, Rita. She also had a go yesterday at the councillors from the, Yarra Council, who are not going to celebrate Australia Day next year, Jim. Unbelievably. Which is part of our constitution.
And I think the PM got nice
and the PM got wound up too. So well done to you, Rita. And well done to old Mally.
Yeah.
Mally Turnbull. Now, what's it going on here, Jim? North Melbourne coach Brad Scott has become an almost unbackable favourite. This is with the bookmakers, by the way, okay, to move North to coach the Gold Coast Suns. He was $41 early on, Jim, in the market. He's into $1.60. $1.60. So someone knows something, Jim.
Bill, he would be sitting there as bemused. He would sit there and say, I have done nothing, said nothing except for the job I'm paid to do, which I've done very well, by the way, given, you know, the injury and the
least.
He would say, I've done nothing, and now suddenly I have to answer questions about why I'm at $1.60.
Yeah.
That's how he would answer that.
Right.
Yeah, well, what do you expect me to say? I just keep doing my job.
John Barker, $7. Dean Solomon, $9. But he's coming to $1.60, Jim. That is short.
Well, all I will say, and I have nothing to do with it anymore, as you know, is he is contracted for next year. So I would imagine that he will be coaching North Melbourne next year, given he's contracted to do that job.
Scott Pendlebury has named his 2017 All-Australian side. Guess how many Collingwood players are in it, Jim?
Given where they sit in the ladder, probably shouldn't be any.
Three! Howe, who's been very good on the halfback line, I'll give him that. Side bottom on the wing, and Brody Grundy on the where is he? In the ruck. First ruck, that is interesting.
How many are your Cats?
Only one Catter. danger.
Even though he's third on the ladder.
Yes, exactly.
Just the one.
So, but it's interesting. We could all pick our own sides.
I think if you'd have a Robbie Tarrant from any, they would manage to find room for two or three of their teammates.
Of course they would.
Exactly right.
Mm.
Hey, Bill.
No, Hurley at fullback and Rance at centre halfback.
We have a big guest coming up in Paul Roos. But before he gets in here, Roosy, we're going to give away the trip for two to Mount Hotham.
You've got the Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
A favourite quiz.
What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centred around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Before we get to the quiz, and it'll be amazing, I'm just checking out selco.com.au.
Yes.
You know, we're giving away the $200
voucher. $200
voucher. Nuts this joint is. The warehouse sale comes up August 24 to 26.
That's right, Jim.
Gant and Gant Home.
Oh.
So the homewares.
Gee.
Abelard Suits, Jeff Banks, their brands are nuts.
So Brunswick East, Jim,
yes.
It is.
The Tommy warehouse. Pink, any man who's ever worn Thomas Pink knows how good it is. So, Bill.
Well done to Selco.
I know.
That's a very nice prize.
And, well, we've been giving it away, but we need to just tell everyone that it's Little Miller Street, Brunswick East, and the warehouse sale is coming up 24 to 26 of August. So get stuck into that.
Mm.
Boys, serious brands at very, very nice prices at selco.com.au.
Well, we've got a serious quiz too now, Jim.
Well, get it right, Bill.
Well, of course, you know how it works here. We ask for two callers. Caller number 9, Jim. Oh. You know what number 9 is?
What, Bill?
James Kelly's number at Geelong.
Popsy.
And he's retired.
Yes.
And caller number, we'll say 3. You know who wore 3? He actually hasn't
Jimmy
retired.
Cracker.
Oh, well, he hasn't retired yet, but his coach has retired him.
Oh.
Zach Dawson.
Oh, I see.
So he wore 3, of course.
All right. So Mount Hotham getaway, accommodation at the Arlberg Hotham, which is just
beautiful.
Curl the mobile. And sports ski or board rental package for 2+.
Yes.
An unlimited chairlift pass.
Oh, this is new.
From September the 4th until the end of the season.
Wowee, that's new, Jim.
Highest village, most down-to-earth people, Mount Hotham, the true spirit of Alpine Australia.
That's it, Jimmy.
So caller 9 and 3.
3. And they get to go into the Big Bill's Bad Bloody Bonanza Quiz.
Oh, no. Look at Roosie. Roosie's just looking in, wondering what the hell goes on.
What about what came out today about Roosie coaching
Collingwood? We'll get to that a bit later on, but we'll get to the quiz next. All right, Quizmaster.
Yes, Jim. Big quiz this
massive
one.
Massive prize, of course. Trip for two. Arlberg Hotham. Then we throw in the ski or board rental. And then we throw in chairlift pass.
Of course, Jim. They're playing for this.
Now, it's the Rush Hour's Thursday quiz, where contestants will...
battle it out.
What's that, Bill?
Battle it out.
Thank you, Bill.
The highest village and most down-to-earth people, Mount Hotham, the true spirit of Alpine Australia.
Very good, Jim. We got Peter there. Lift the field gate. Pete.
G'day, boys. How are you?
What do you do with yourself, Peter?
I'm a chippy.
Chippy.
Nice.
Yes, and we got Chrissy there from Mornington. Hey, Chris.
Hey, boys. How are you?
What do you do?
I'm a teacher.
Knocked off already?
Yeah, knocked off already.
Are you a man who enjoys the snow, Chris?
I do enjoy the snow.
All right, I will jump into this because if you beat Pete, you're heading to Mount Hotham.
So you're going with Chris and Peter's going with Peter. 5 questions. First one to 3 wins, Jim. Easy as that. You're the judge.
Easy on the judge.
Number 1. Which Aussie won gold at the World Athletics Championships?
Chris.
Chris.
Sally Pearson.
Wow,
one to Chris.
Nice, Chrissy.
Nicely.
Are you there, Pete?
Yeah, mate. Yeah,
it wasn't a hard question.
No, stay involved.
Number 2, which team won the inaugural, which means the first, AFLW Premiership?
Chris.
Chris.
It was at the Adelaide Crows.
Ooh. Wowee.
2-0.
What were you going to say, Pete?
I was going to say Adelaide.
All right. Barnaby Joyce is a dual citizen of which two countries?
Chris.
That'll be New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah,
another one, Bill.
Good.
Bang, bang, bang.
Chrissy from Mornington, the teacher.
You beauty, boys.
Well done.
I tell you what you win, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Well, before we get to you, let's tell Pete what he wins. Yeah. A $50 Meyer voucher, Petey.
Beautiful.
All right, take that.
Petey.
Because you really,
Zed didn't do.
Didn't deserve much.
He was as good as it was.
Said hello at the start, and that's pretty much all we got out of Pete.
I was up against the boys, come on.
Yeah, that's true. Well, $50 voucher for you, Pete.
Well done.
Chris.
Yes.
Yes.
Have a listen to this. Aalborg Hotham accommodation.
Yep.
Sports ski and board rental package for two. And if you head up there after September the 4th, unlimited chairlift pass.
Oh, how good's that?
Oh, well, yes. Done. That's all yours.
Who are you taking,
Thank
Chris?
You very much, fellas.
You got someone to take?
Yeah, or maybe the missus.
Oh, that'd be a nice start, I would have thought.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Highest village, most down-to-earth people, Mount Hotham, the true spirit of Alpine Australia.
Gee, it's a good
Thank
quiz.
Thank you very
that's,
much, please.
That's the second one in a row where it's just straight
bang, bang,
sets.
Bang, bang, yeah.
All over.
Well, it's hard to prepare questions, Jim, because we go back to Jakey, who was hopeless, remember, first ones.
No good, Jake.
And now we're preparing easy ones, but then Chris just goes bang, bang, bang.
Whack.
So
yep.
And it's Pete very
never,
difficult.
Never got out of the gate, Pete.
No.
Did he?
I think he's
famous. He's still on the blocks. Chris has breasted the tape and Pete's still on the blocks.
It's taken off now, Jim. Right.
From Triple M Footy, dominating the Sunday rub, it's Paul Roos.
Ah, the superstar that is Roosie. You know all about his playing career. We don't have to go through any of that. But Roosie, welcome to you. Premiership coach, of course. And that has been, I'm going to say a noose around your neck because it was an incredible achievement. But every time a coaching job comes up,
yep.
Your name's linked to it.
Yeah, look, it's a bit frustrating, but I understand the industry that we're in and the speculation. So, look, I really enjoyed my time at Melbourne. It was very different to being at Sydney, young team, developing team, and love the way they're going this year under Goody and touch wood. Hopefully they win the next couple of games and get in the finals, which would be great for the club. But, yeah, look, it's the furthest thing from my mind now is coaching. I'm enjoying being on the Sunday rub with the boys and doing all the stuff for Fox Footy.
This is friendly fire too, yes. By the way. This is Wayne Carey that's tipped you into this.
He has. And for those who don't know, Paul Roos has dismissed fresh claims linking him to the Collingwood coaching role. Wayne Carey has declared that his radio colleague, Roosie, that's you, has changed his mindset on the Magpies and may considering a return to the coach's box.
Yeah, look, Duck and I talk a bit about it before we go on air. And it's funny. We have a great relationship and enjoy working together on Sundays. And as I said, I understand, part of the media is to try and read between the lines. But I think I showed when I wasn't coaching that I was pretty honest. And I think it was actually on the Friday night game and Eddie turned around to me and said, Roosie, Brisbane Lions have, there's a job available. And I think I said something. Look, I'm actually thinking of doing the Melbourne. He nearly fell off the chair. So I'm happy to give the narrative and I'm happy to be honest. And, when I talk about coaching, I've already organised a holiday for the end of the year going over to Hawaii. Mm. But I understand the speculation and I understand obviously there's a massive interest in footy and Collingwood are a huge footy club.
Well, definitely spoken to Eddie McGuire, according to Duck.
Yeah, well, I do speak to him every Friday night because I work with him, but not into it. Look, I think, to be fair to Eddie and Purdy, I think they've been really transparent. I was on one Friday night when he got a bit fired up, and what he said was absolutely right. Bucks is contracted till, I think the contracts are actually October 31, Jimmy, from memory. Mm. Said he's contracted to them. We're going to go through the end of the contract. And as novel as it sounds, it makes sense. And I suppose part of the problem is when a coach gets towards the end of their contract, everyone speculates, when's he going to extend it? Eddie was really clear. He's going to coach till the end of the year and then we'll make a decision at the end of the year. So have I spoken to him? Yeah, I speak to him every Friday night, but certainly not about the Collingwood gig.
The thing is, Roosie, having been through a couple of these processes myself in a previous life, what you tend to do is you put normally a panel together and then put a process together. But before you do that, so that you don't waste time if you don't have to, you've got a wish list. You've got a Marlon Fishing wish list. And that is Al Clarkson, normally at the top, someone like yourself. So you would say, well, okay, before we go down this 2 or 3 month path, why don't we go and speak to Paul Roos or why don't we go and speak to Al Clarkson and see if he has any interest? Because if he says yes, then we don't have to go through all this. We got the bloke we want.
Yeah, I think we're seeing the processes can vary, can't they? I mean, depending on what club you're at, what the circumstances are, I guess the difficulty is when you're a coach, when you've been inside the coach's box, I suppose there's a coaching fraternity. So you feel for Bucks or Dimmer last year or whoever, you know, Rossi Lyon, whoever's in the spotlight. We have a genuine compassion for those people. And I guess where I get uncomfortable is this, if there's no job available, the Suns' job now we can talk about there's a job available. So when you've been a coach and you've been in the fraternity, I just feel uncomfortable talking about a job that doesn't exist. You know, and I guess what you're saying, Jimmy's right. From your point of view, whether you're CEO or whether you're, you know, and there's some doubt in a board's mind as to whether that coach can, then that's a different scenario. Yep. But when you're actually in the fraternity, you know, I find it really uncomfortable talking about jobs. We can talk about the Suns' job because that's available. I can talk about it. But it's very hard when you've been a coach to talk about another coach's position when the position's not available.
Not vacant,
yeah.
When you are a coach, do you watch all the footy shows? Do you read the papers? Because they say, oh, no. But do you sit there and go, that bloke's talking crap. How can he say that?
Yeah, you don't watch it all or read it all, to be honest.
Right.
I think it's more when, you know, there's something that big that comes out. You probably have to be across it because, yeah, if your media manager comes in and says, oh, look, you know, we want you to go on X radio station, you know, to promote the club, you need to know about the big issue of the week. But you don't really spend a lot of time scouring the papers. I mean, we're football people.
Yeah.
So when you're in the coaching, you're football people. So you're generally watching things and listening to things, but not sourcing them out, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
there are
generally a lot of things. When players say that or coach, I believe it.
Yeah.
Because we don't sort of scour the paper. Yeah. But if it's a big issue, you're generally across the bigger issues.
Were you staggered when you moved from Sydney coaching the Swans down to Melbourne to coach the Demons at the difference in the everyday scrutiny and scuttlebutt that exists in this city and maybe didn't in Sydney?
Yeah, there was probably two things that stood out for me. One was very much that. I mean, the football in Melbourne is massive. You can't really get away from it. So being in Sydney, you're able to go to coffee, go to dinner, whatever. The players were able to get a release, which is a good and a bad thing. I think it's good when you're going well because you don't get a big head.
Yep.
I think when you're not going as well, it's always then incumbent on the coach to put pressure on you. And I always said that to the players because you don't go to the newspaper and the bloke says, geez, you had a bad game on the weekend, buy the chicken salad roll. So it's always incumbent on the when you're winning really good, when you're losing, it's a bit of a negative. I think the difference I found down here, even though everyone talks about football and from Melbourne point of view, you're always talking about it. Probably what I didn't factor in, it swings and roundabouts. Whereas in Sydney, prior to the Giants, the only people that you could talk to footy about were the Swans people. Mm. So it had to be me, had to be Goodsy, had to be Hawley.
Yep.
There was only about five or six spokesmen. What you noticed when you came down here, even though footy was massive, you know, it might revolve from Melbourne one week to St Kilda the next week to Richmond the following week. So you could actually get I was actually doing more press in Sydney than I was doing down here because of the number of teams that it revolved around.
Mm-hmm. And one crisis from another club just gives you a nice
you go,
bit
thank
of
God for that.
Well, it's funny. You'd actually, you know, you might have lost a game at Melbourne. You thought you'd had a bad loss. It might have been on a Saturday afternoon. And you thought, oh, well, by Monday, you know, we're going to start the cop at Sunday, there'd be a worse loss.
Yeah.
So,
you
know, you were sort of protected at times when perhaps in Sydney you weren't protected at all because you were just one team prior to the Giants coming in.
And how hard is it? But you try and say, I'm not going to coach when I get home. But when you get home, you're still thinking about the coaching and things like that. But also lying in bed and the phone rings and one of your players and you're just on 24/7.
Yeah, I think you've got to be really clear, Billy, though. I think you've got to put some parameters in place.
Yep.
You can't control your mind, so you're generally thinking about it most of the time. But I think you've got it. What I did with Sydney and Melbourne has been really clear around, you know, when I'm home, you know, when you're trying to be present with the wife and the family.
And the kids,
I remember in Sydney when the boys were at school, I used to go and have brekkie with them every Thursday morning.
Yep.
So you try and get a bit of get the training, you know, at Trumper Park, get the training with them. So you've got to give yourself a routine. And if you do that, generally, people around the football club know what it is, and they tend to leave you alone. The only problem with that, if you get a phone call outside those hours, you know it's not a great phone call to pick up.
Hey, Roosie, stick around. Lots we want to discuss with the superstar, former player as well. Forget about the coaching, Bill. He would have towed you up how many times? Taking candy from a baby.
Still with us from Triple M Footy, Paul Roos.
Roosie, the Father's Day fun run. Tell us about that, my friend.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic. September 3rd, which is Father's Day, and it's just in your neck of the woods, Billy, around the tan. So you can do the 5K or the 10K. So, or just bring the dog, go for a walk.
I like that. You can walk it.
You can walk it, you bring the dog. There's going to be some really fun activities for the kids and everything like that. And I didn't actually realise this. The YMCA back in 1910 were the first ones to do Father's Day. They actually brought in Father's Day. So look, it's a great, I mean, we're all dads and just a great opportunity. Yep. I think sometimes we sort of think, oh, we've got to do something special for the kids. We've got to take them overseas. We've got to do, it's just about spending time with the kids.
Good idea.
You know, so I'm trying to drum up Dylan and Tyler, get them to the 10.
Will you get them there? Or?
I reckon I'll get them there, Billy. I'll get them for 5K. I'm not sure they'll do the... Tyler might do the 10K.
Are you fit, are you? You're pretty fit.
I still run. Yeah, I enjoy running, but 5K is about my limit. Yeah, I can run for about 20 minutes.
Father'sDayFunRun.org.au where you get stuck into that and make sure you get along and, help out a wonderful course.
I've got to ask you about the Manshake too. How's all that going? Because that's your mate that started that, didn't
he? Yeah, look, Adam McDougall, terrific fella. And what he did, look, unfortunately, the story goes his mate passed away, I think at about 42. And Adam's got an academic background in nutrition and numbers. So he wanted to put together something that was sustainable.
Yep.
And it's been fantastic. Look, it's a terrific product, a really good model because as we know with some of these diets, it's so hard to follow. And what Adam's done is created the Man Shake. You can drink it. It's really a meal replacement.
Yep.
He does the Man Challenge, which is a 10-week challenge as well. So look, and he's a terrific fella. Really well organized, great product. So for everyone out there that maybe, we're all time poor now. It's hard to go to the gym for an hour, ride the bike for 2 or 3 hours. If you can do that, fine. But it's really designed for the time poor guy that wants to get in shape but doesn't want to have to change the diet dramatically.
You can still have a beer.
Still have a couple of beers.
Beautiful.
Still reward yourself with a pizza at the end of the week or whatever you want to do. So it's right up your alley, Billy.
I know. No, I'm trying to get on it. Don't worry.
Well, find a way to, Bill. Hey, Roosie, we always talk about this time of year, the really good teams. It's like in the racing parlance, you just assemble yourself at the clock tower and make sure you're in a good running position. And then if you're good enough, you can greet the judges. Your old team, the Swans, may just be in the best nick of any team at the clock tower at the minute.
Yeah, and I think that bye week we know from last year, the bye week going into the finals is a big advantage for the Swans now. Because I think, Billy, what happens too is if you make a run like the Swans are going to have to do and have been terrific, you're probably going to be tired.
Yep.
Now, in the old system, you have to go again the following week. You know, we saw Joey Kennedy's missed a couple of weeks. I reckon a couple of weeks ago, we thought, I saw him play live against Hawks. They looked a bit tired.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you get to the line, you have a week off going to the finals. That's a big advantage for the Swans. I don't think there's going to be a team that's going to really want to play them in the finals.
Not if they get in that top four.
Absolutely.
They play Adelaide this week. It's a huge game. If they can find a way to get over that, then they are going to be daunting. Yeah. What about your recent old mob, Melbourne? Can they get there?
Yeah, look, I'm loving watching them play. And I always thought this year was going to be a little bit of an unknown. You know, we've seen still a little bit of inconsistency. Big win last week against the Saints. Yep. Yeah, Lions this week. Yeah, I can now say, now that I'm not coaching, I can say, I don't have to say 1 week at a time. But look, I really hope that they win their next two games. And nothing's a given. What we know in this competition this year has been unbelievably even. I think Angus Brayshaw, we talked about before, getting players back for a young team that haven't played a lot of footy is really important because I think a couple of them may be starting to tire a little bit.
Yep.
The good thing about Melbourne is the depth that they've had this year. Their recruiting's been fantastic. So, look, hopefully they win the next two. I think it'll be fantastic from the play finals. But for all the Melbourne fans out there, the next 5 or 6 years is very exciting.
Did you see Clarence Oliver being as good a player as he's become?
It's funny. I remember it would have been about 5 or 6 weeks to go, and I said to Jason Taylor, the head of recruiting, and I said, look, I've got a spare hour. Can I look at some tapes? He said, yeah, look, and wrote down about 6 to 8 players on the list. And I got the Clayton Oliver's tape for the Bushies, and I walked out of my office. I said, Jason, bearing in mind it's about 8 weeks to go, I said, mate, where's this kid Oliver going to go? He said, I reckon middle first, late first. Yeah. I said, mate, if there's 10 or 12 players better in the competition than that kid, I'll go he. Mm. And obviously, as the season wore on, he got better and better. So, look, you never know where players are going to end up, but certainly Petraka, Gussie, Oliver, Salem, Jesse Hogan, Viney. I mean, they've got some real talent. Yeah, Dom Tyson. So some of those real early draft picks are really talented kids. And that's why I think the next 5 or 6 years are going to be fantastic for Demons fans.
Is the MRP flawed? A couple of coaches have come out. I see Chris Scott, Nathan Buckley. Or what can you do? Do you just have one person, like the NRL, just has one person that sits there and makes the call? Or does it need a shake-up?
I think, Billy, what we thought we were going to get when we went to the MRP was some consistency. What surprises me is when we see an issue, we don't have a bank of... What I would think, there's a bank of reports. Yep. Based on that report,
yes.
I'll look down the list. I'll go through 10 of them. That one's blah, blah, blah. Okay, it fits in there.
Pre-season.
That's probably the biggest thing that surprises me, because what we hear out of the MRP often, or the AFL, is every case is different. They are, but they're not really.
No.
You should be able to look at it. If nothing else, we should have consistency, and I think that's the frustrating thing for everyone.
Yeah, exactly right. Hey, I was looking the other day, I was watching some old footy. Fitzroy, you had a bloody good side back then.
Yeah,
you were a very, very good side, the old Fitzroy.
Yeah, it's funny, when I look back on it, Billy, and you didn't realise at the time, I think 86 was the last time we played in the finals, and at the time when you're going through, you don't realise how much the financial stuff had a bearing on the outcome of the team. But we look at the players that we end up losing, you know, Lynchy, Johnny Blakey, Michael Gale, Paul Broderick, you know, Gary Pert, Richard Osmond, enormous amount of talent that went out of that football club. And I think in the end it was just beaten down, worn down. Mm-hmm. But, we had some great success when I first arrived, 83, 84, 86. We played in finals, had some fantastic players. But, yeah, it's funny when I ran into Gary Wilson at the airport last week, and there's a great bond between that group of players because Gary Wilson, Bernie Quinlan,
superstar.
They were just absolute stars.
They were.
But probably have never got the recognition that Gary Ablett Sr. has and guys that have played in finals and grand finals. Yeah. Bernie Quinlan, Gary Wilson, two of the best players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, they were absolute stars.
I did a panel a while back with Purdy, and we got rid of, because Ned was stupid, Ned was on there as well, so we got rid of all the boring
Collins.
And then, you know, I said, well, Purdy, you know, 200 games is a mighty achievement, but you look like he could still play now. He thought about it for a second. He said, I would actually have played 300 games if I didn't have to play on two blokes every week. Mine and Roosie's.
Actually, it's funny. That's what Steve Owen Lynchy said as well. So my other partners in crime down back, I think Dunks might have said that as well when I went to Sydney. So I look at it the other way. I say, well, look, I actually saved them because the ball didn't get past me to get down. They were fullback.
Right.
I was
exactly.
centre back.
Yeah. He was fit, Brett Stevens, wasn't he?
He was an absolute.
Good one.
So
yeah.
Bill's first game, he played on you.
Actually,
so
this
he wouldn't have touched it.
This is a true story. So I played on Billy, and as the story goes, I probably wasn't I wasn't a Mickey Gay for a Danny Frawley.
No,
type,
you certainly weren't.
Yeah, close checking defender. No. So this young kid, Billy Brownless, gets a game. So I trailed him in Cadinia Park. He took a mark about 80 metres out. This is a true story. I'm standing on the mark. I thought, this will land probably 20 metres short. He kicked it. It went. I think it was a point, but it went through goalpost high. And I remember thinking, I got to tighten up on this young fella, because if he's getting shots from 80 metres out, have to tighten up on him.
But you know what the votes were that day? I still remember Brownlow votes.
Yes.
Three votes. P. Ruse. He got the three. He used to take off, and I wasn't a great defender either. I'd go the other way and maybe get an easy one over the top, the Joe the Goose. He just kept running down the ground. I think John Devine had pulled me up at about half time and said, mate, you got to stop that.
Yeah.
Ruse, you'd just take off. Those were the good old days too, weren't they?
And we
used to have a drink after the game.
Yeah,
I
miss that, don't you? I think that's the umpires. It's funny, someone asked me the umpires before. The relationship that we had with the umpires has certainly suffered now.
That's
because
right.
of the old aftermatches, and there's still a room for it, I think. I mean, obviously you've got recovery now and the beers and all that sort of stuff, but certainly from a social interaction point of view, the ability to go in the rooms and talk to players, but more importantly, umpires. I think is something that's sorely missed.
Because you walk away and go, geez, that umpire's actually not a bad bloke.
And often you'd say, oh, mate, I reckon you got that wrong. He said, no, okay. No. And you'd realise that there was a human side to umpire, and they'd realise there was a human side to playing. So absolutely, from a relationship point of view, it was key.
No, it was very, very important.
Roosie, you're before your time in the way you played.
He was.
Modern key defenders now, like Matty Scarlett for 200 games, didn't have anyone to worry about. Just went and got
Rancy.
The footy. Rancy's now doing it.
Yeah, it's funny. I think if you look at the way the game has evolved, it has evolved into more of a zone-type defence where players are using more around their instincts. There's less one-on-one. Sydney probably still play with Grundy and Rampy, still play a bit more of a one-on-one. You know, Robbie Tarrant's good.
Yep.
Thompson's
yep.
really good. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of players now are asked to play more on instincts and more on 18-team defences, which means taking a position. And it's probably something that some of the defenders that I was fortunate enough to play with, Purdy was good at, Laurie Serafini was good at it. Yeah, more taking a position. Yeah, we're not trying to play on Billy or someone like that. You'd actually think about, okay, what are his strengths? What are my strengths? And I wasn't that big.
No.
You know, so you had to actually think around, okay, how do I play on Wayne Carey, Stephen Kernahan, some of the great centre forwards. But now it's very much part of teams' game style, their 18-man defence.
Yep.
And we're certainly seeing a lot more players. I don't want to say not playing on anyone, but you often notice when you look on the ground and the ball's got the team's got the ball in their defence, yeah. you look at your defence and you say, he's not playing on anyone.
No one anywhere near him.
There's no one anywhere near. But that's just the way the modern game's gone a bit.
We're loving you on Sundays, mate. You're having a great time on Triple M Footy. Keep doing that and make sure you get stuck into the fun run for Father's Day. It's fathersdayfunrun.org.au. 5K, 10K, but you can walk around there with your dog and it's for a great cause. Roosie, great to see
you. Good on you. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
On you, Roosie.
Good man, Paul Roos. Bloody quality, oath. Quality man.
Good football man, good family man. Jim, I've got a scoop for you.
Go on.
Josh Dacos will play this week for Collingwood.
Well, the son of the Macedonian Marvel.
That's it, Jim, against the Cats at the MCG, the Gabba the Wacko. It doesn't really matter this summer.
Or the Bosnia Herzegovina Marvel in modern terms. Oh. He was a superstar, Dakes. How good a player was that player?
Some of those goals. Some of those goals.
Freakish talent he had.
Yep.
Now, tomorrow, Michael Barlow in here.
Oh, good man, Mickey
and
boy.
And Simon the Wizard Whitlock.
Oh, the darts.
The darts superstar, of course. And Rusty Suburban Song. So we've got a big, big show coming your way. Oh, they're always Big Friday.
180.
180.
That's it, Jim.
All right, now, Bill.
Yes.
Something humorous.
Very good yesterday, Bill.
Not really.
We've got a sponsor.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's Joke. Melbourne Brick. 30% off first quality 500x500 Melbourne stone pavers. Offer ends soon.
Well done to Melbourne Brick, 30% off, Jim.
Great people.
Very good. Right. And got the chief laughing yesterday. A bit of a longish one, but I like it because it's good. A farmer stopped by the local mechanic shop to have his truck fixed, Jim.
Yes.
They couldn't do it while he waited, so he said, that's all right, I don't live far away, I'll walk home. On the way home, he stopped at the hardware shop, Jim, and bought a bucket, 4 litres of paint, then stopped by the feed store and picked up a couple of chickens and a goose.
Right.
However, struggling outside the store, he had a problem. How does he carry it all home, Jim? While he was scratching his head, he was approached by a little old lady who told him she was lost. She asked, can you tell me how to get to 1603 Mockingbird Lane? To kill a mockingbird. Mockingbird Lane.
Yeah.
The farmer said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. My farm is very, very close to that house. I will walk you there, but I can't carry all this. The old lady suggested, why don't you put the can of paint in the bucket, carry the bucket in one hand, put the chicken under each arm, and carry the goose with the other hand? Oh, thank you very much, old lady. You're a star. On the way home, the farmer said, let's take this shortcut and go down this little alley. We'll be there in no time. The old lady, Jim, wasn't sure.
No.
She said, I'm a lonely widow without a husband to defend me. How do I know that when we get in the alley, you won't hold me against the wall, pull up my skirt, and have your way with me? The farmer said, holy smokes, lady, I'm carrying a bucket, 4 litres of paint, 2 chickens and a goose. How in the world could I possibly hold you up against the wall and do that? The old lady said, well, you put the goose down, cover him with the bucket, put the paint on top of the bucket, and I'll hold the chickens. Oh, dirty old lady, Jim. She was a dirty, dirty old lady.
Bill.
She just wanted to have him way with her.
Really?
Him to have her way with her.
Have him way with her.
Yeah, that's it, Jim. You never trust little old ladies,
no,
Jim.
No, you mustn't.
No, you mustn't.
Especially if you're carrying 2 chickens and a
and
goose.
And a goose and a tin of paint.
Oh, no.
Surprise! Come on.
Give it plastic arrive, please.
Another
lift
good
us
one.
Back up again.
Another good one.
Again, he needs to lift us.
That's 2 from 2. Tomorrow will be 3 from 3.
Oh, no.
3 from 3, Jim.
Please.
Shut up, Leroy.
See you tonight, Bill.
Oh, tonight, footy show. 8:30 on 9. Back up the truck. Footy show, 8:30.
That was the Rush Hour catch-up.
That's not enough O's in the word smooth.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.